Welcome to Intentionality with Paul Kim, the podcast where we explore the possibilities and opportunities that can be created with a more intentional life. This is episode 16. I have identified a problem with this podcast. Too many white men. For the first 15 episodes, this podcast has either been me, a white male, or me, a white male, interviewing another white male. It's time for a change. And that's why it is a tremendous honor and pleasure for me to welcome as my third guest on the couch, Siyabonga Nompunga. Welcome, Sia.
Thank you, Paul.
So nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor.
Sia is a friend. Sia is a colleague. She works with me. Sia is one of the directors of the FFG Group of Companies. Sia is also the managing director of our funeral insurance business called Empowered Consultants. And that's not all. Sia is also the head of our healthcare division in our employee benefits company, The People Company. And as if that is not enough, Sia is also a mother and a wife. A all-round impressive woman. Sia, thanks for joining me today. Start off by telling me how you are doing.
I'm a bit overwhelmed with all those titles that you just mentioned. Yes. A little bit overworked, but I'm good. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Time to relax. We're going to have some fun here today. Today, I don't want to talk about work. I just want to talk about you and maybe see if we can include intentionality every now and then. I had a privilege last year to attend your wedding in the Eastern Cape. It was a wonderful experience. Chanel and I had a wonderful time. At this wedding, I met your mother. What an impressive woman. Can you tell us a little bit about your mother?
Well, Paul, it was such an honor, firstly. Thank you so much for you and your gorgeous wife. For coming all the way to the Eastern Cape to celebrate Mandu and I, and most importantly, to represent our FFG family. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Absolute pleasure.
And when it comes to talking about my mom, I can go on the whole day. So this is really quite a tall order for me, but I'll try to summarize a little bit. As you've just mentioned, she's indeed an impressive woman. I mean, she had me at a very young age. And I think that's something that I was insecure about for the longest time. I mean, when you have your mother very young and you've got your peers that they have their mothers a little bit older and they're working as nurses. Nothing about her is conventional. She started a salon at a very young age. When she had me, she was young. So my granny told her to go back to school and she also started at a job at a salon as a hairstylist. And I think for her, unlike many people, I think she was quite fortunate because from then she found her purpose. She loves hair. She loves people. She didn't stay employed for long. She started a salon at our house in our four-bedroom home. Not even four-bedroom, actually. I'm exaggerating. In a four-room home. Four-room home, yes. So she used our lounge to start the salon. And surprisingly for us, we would have queues in the morning on a Saturday morning of people that wanted to do their hair. They passed established salons. But I think it's because of her personality.
Yeah.
It was not just a job for her. She's got a passion for people. So people were there because of the type of service that she gave people. It's the humility that she has. She's just great with people. So I think in just summing up the type of person that she is, and I think because she's young, as much as I was insecure about the age gap between my mother and I, it was a blessing in disguise because she's not just a mother to me. She's actually a best friend. She has taught me so many things in life and I've had so many firsts. My first spa, my first shopping spree, a lot of things because she didn't want me to grow older and actually not have experienced the things that are out there in the world. So she actually made sure that she did a lot of things with me so that I'm exposed to a lot of things. So she is indeed an impressive woman and she's a fighter. And she moved from the salon that was in the house She went and rented an apartment and she established a salon, and she moved from there to actually renovating our home, which was actually a four-room to a double-story home that it is, and divided the house between the house that we go to and a salon. So she's always been ambitious, and she actually, I call her the hair doctor, because you go anywhere in PE, people will recognize me and they'll ask you, are you Zaza's daughter? So she's actually, yes, I call her the hair doctor because she has built a brand for herself. Yeah. And I feel she's a brand herself, because I don't walk anywhere in PE and people will say, how about, are you not Zaza's daughter? Mm. So for me, I think that is big. She is literally the definition of humble beginnings. She took a situation that could have been so bad and she made it to what she is today. She runs the salon successfully and she does catering. She runs a catering business as well successfully. So she has actually done very well for herself, for someone who became a parent at such a young age and had to raise two children, because it's not just myself, it's myself and my younger brother. So she's really an impressive woman.
And an impressive and wonderful role model to have in your life.
Certainly. From all these experiences, I mean, she's not much of a talker like me, but I think she has taught me a lot of things just by watching her.
Yeah.
She is a do as I do, not as a do as I say type of a person. So just by watching how she does a lot of things in her life, I've actually learned that in life, you don't let your circumstances define who you are. And there is no savior that's coming to save you. You must wake up and do things for yourself. That's one lesson that I've learned just by observing and watching her do the things that she does in life. And also the most important lesson, I think, for me is the parenting. I think with all the circumstances and the frustrations, she's always parented myself and my brother with such love and compassion. And I think as a parent to two boys and a teenage girl, it's one thing I'm intentional about. I'm intentional about parenting with love. You fight with your children, but there's one thing they must never forget is that you love them. You'll fight them, you'll want to correct them. But the biggest lesson I learned is to parent with love and compassion.
I love it. I wish one day that I can sit and listen to my kids talk with so much love about me, the way you're talking about your mom. Such a privilege to hear that. Aside from being a wonderful role model, I think that you've learned so many lessons from your mom. And what I've experienced with you is this incredible success that you have reached at such a young age. Now, obviously, your mom played a role in that.
Yeah.
What else would you attribute to the success that you have already reached in your life at such a young age?
It's so strange to answer that question, Paul, because I think our definition of success is always defined by comparing ourselves to other people. So it's one of the questions that have been the most difficult for me to answer for the longest time. But I think I'm at a stage in my life where I am so comfortable in my skin and I know myself as Sia, and I define my success based on the benchmarks that I've set and the goals that I've set for myself. So I think if I could answer that question of being successful, I don't know if I can exactly call myself successful, but considering my age, I think I've done well for myself. And I think the things that I can basically attribute to that is that I've always been, I can call myself a big dreamer from a very young age. And I've had a never die attitude. Whatever I want, I mean, I left home at a very young age and I relocated to Joburg to study at Wits and did my first qualification as a BA. And I've always been a type of person that believe it's important to envision yourself as the person that you'd like to be in the next 5 or 10 years. So I think over and above everything else, that's what I've done very well. But most importantly, when you envision yourself as the person that you would like to be in the next 5 or 10 years, you need to work towards that. You don't just dream and hope that it's going to happen. So you actually put in the work to make sure that you become that person. So I think one thing that doesn't define me, but I'm proud of, is the fact that I've put in so much time and energy into development. I've developed myself. I've got a number of qualifications. The first qualification that I got opened the door for me to actually get into the insurance industry. Because in my first interview, what my former boss expressed that I would get to the job, even though I did not have the experience, but it's because finishing the degree in record time while I was working two jobs actually was a demonstration of the discipline that I had. Yeah. So that actually opened the door for me. And because that actually helped me in the first step, I never stopped learning. I started doing other courses in the insurance industry. And because I wanted to, I saw myself, I envisioned myself, the person that I wanted to be in 5 and 10 years' time. I continued with my studies and I did an MBA. As much as I didn't have a plan of what it was going to do, but I knew that I am destined to be something bigger than what I was at the time when I started it. So I continued with my development. So the biggest thing that I can attribute to my success, what you call success, is basically development. And there's a saying that says that you must envision yourself as the person that you want to be in the next level and start showing up as that person. That's something I really believe in. I mean, you would get to work and people would feel, you look so beautiful, where are you going? I'm coming to work. There is no way I'm going. That's who I am. I show up as the person that I envision myself. Maybe I want to take over Paul's job. So I'm showing up as Paul.
Hey, I'm very happy with that. Maybe not just yet, sir. Just give me a few more years, but let's work towards that.
I'm just joking, Paul.
Oh, I love that. There's so many things you've said that resonate with me, things that I've discussed in previous episodes, things that fit in with this idea of intentionality. You know, you talk about goals, you talk about development, you talk about big dreams, about purpose, things that for me describes a life of intentionality. That's what you've done. You've created a life that is lived with intentionality. And you don't have to doubt your success. I'm telling you, you are successful. You've been successful in your studies. You've been successful in your work. I've met your husband. I can tell you, you've been successful as a wife. And the way you talk about love for your children, it's really admirable, the success you've already reached. So, Sia, we work in the finance industry, in the insurance industry. And there's something that's been said about this industry, and I'd love to hear your view about it. I've heard and experienced that it's a very male-dominated environment. It's almost like a boys' club that we work in. Is that what you experience?
100%, Paul. It is what I have experienced. But I think because of the person that I am, you don't allow that to shape how you interact. Because if you perceive things negatively, then you will start excluding yourself from certain interactions because you feel you don't belong. I think there's one thing that as Black females, is very important for us to thrive in any industry, basically, is to have a high self-esteem. Mm. Because if you're constantly comparing yourself, you'll end up excluding yourself from things that you are supposed to be part of. Yes, I have experienced the fact that it is a boys' club, but it does not shape our future. I'm someone who is actually passionate about transformation. In our business, I am the employment equity manager. So it's something that we, as the people that are excluded, if we see it as a boys' club, if we want to see any change, we need to drive the change. Mm. So it's something that I am intentional about. If you get the seat and you move to the top, you don't sit there alone. You must be intentional about bringing others with you. It's not something that changes overnight, but it is something that we need to be intentional about transformation, not being a tick box exercise, but something that we make sure that we drive in the organization. So it's a long shot. It's going to take long. It's still a boys' club, but it's something that if you think of something like Atomic Habits.
Mm. Good book.
Yes. It's one small change at a time. Mm. FFG started with a seer. So seer needs to pull other seers and bring others to join the boys' club. And maybe one day it will not be a boys' club, it will be the ladies' club. Remember golf? What is the meaning of golf?
Yeah.
It's gentlemen only, ladies absolutely forbidden.
Yeah,
guess
that's
what?
Right. Yeah.
We play golf. So we drive.
You play golf as well.
I'm an aspiring golfer. So it's something that we need to be intentional about.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you for that answer. And it's a good reminder for me, sitting in that boys' club, to be careful of the way we do things. Sian, my next question relates to the first 10 episodes that I did on this podcast. When I started this podcast, I was very intentional about talking about money. So in those first 10 episodes, I shared some lessons that I'd learned in my life around money and managing your finances. And one of the comments I got from listeners after those first 10 episodes was, it was a very one-sided view. It was the view of a white male around finances and managing your money. I know we're in the next part of the podcast where we talk more about an intentional life, but I do want to go back to the money part of it. And I'm very curious to hear your perspective on managing your finances and on money as a black female. I've heard of things like black tax and those kind of things. Would you say your perspective on money is very different? Are there some things you can share with me and the listeners?
Okay, I work for a financial services company, so my perspective would not necessarily be different, me as Sia.
Yeah.
But I think my experience in terms of interactions that I've had with people is that the things that you mentioned right now are a reality. It's easy to give people advice about your relationship with money, with all the things that you have shared on your shows. Those are brilliant and great. It's great advice. But we need to understand the context of things. If you're taking race and gender and generation into consideration, you find that some of those would go over people's head.
Yes.
Because it becomes an issue for disposable income. It's bread over retirement, if I can put it that way. So the things like black tax are reality because you get your first job and before you can even buy yourself a packet of sweets to thank yourself, you've got a call that you've got siblings at home that have just started varsity. So you need to take care of your own. Not even the younger siblings, even the older siblings that have not been fortunate like you to find a job. You need to take care of them. You came from a four-room home. You need to renovate that home because you don't want to go back home and be embarrassed when your friends see your home. You're living a flashy life in Joburg. You've got all these investments and things, but where you come from. So that is a reality that makes it difficult for the advice that you give to be implementable when it comes to certain races and certain gender and certain generations. And another reality is that of most people, they've got study loans. So before you can even do anything, you need to pay back the study loan. Another reality is the fact that there was a boom where at a point in time, there were articles that were talking about the rise of the black middle class. So you've just moved from a certain salary bracket to another, and now you've been called the black middle class.
Yeah.
You've got banks calling you, offering you this type of cards. The society is expecting you to drive a certain type of car, to live in certain types of suburbs. And unfortunately, we're human. People tend to fall into such traps. So I think the most important thing is that when the young people that come from those backgrounds, they start at work, maybe we must be intentional about things like financial literacy, education at work, at the place of work, so that at least the mindset starts changing.
I couldn't agree more, but very importantly, when we do that financial literacy and that financial training, to have the right perspective,
yes,
or to at least have more than one perspective. And I'm so glad that in this answer, you've brought this issue of generations in. Because what I've found is even my own kids look at money differently than I do. And they have a very different way of thinking about money and talking about money than what I do. So you're right. It's not just a race thing or a gender thing, but a generation thing. And I think we've got a lot to learn in terms of how we help people with finances, with money, with investments. So thank you for that. Sia, you know, of course, the name of this podcast, Intentionality with Paul Kim. It really is all about intentionality. And I'd love to hear if there's anything you do in your life intentionally on a daily or a weekly basis that help you to be more successful.
Okay. Generally, I believe that you cannot pour from an empty cup. So I'm very intentional about constantly making sure that I am filling my cup. Because I'm a giver naturally as a person. But if I give a lot, I'm going to burn out. So the things that I'm intentional about on a daily basis is scripture reading. I feel I need to make sure that my soul is at the right place because I'm going to snap if I'm empty at that level. So I fill my cup from that perspective. I work out frequently because I feel my body is the temple. I need to take care of my body.
Yes.
There's things like, with the partner, I mean, the concept of balance, it's a bit of an illusion because it's quite difficult, but we need to try and make sure that we balance our life. So I make sure with my husband, at least once a month, we go out for a night of fun, where we remind each other why we have the relationship that we have. Don't be a wife, don't be a husband, just go out there and have fun.
Yes.
I'm intentional about frequently going for massages once a month. In a very good month, I'll maybe squeeze in a two. I'm intentional about spending time with my friends, because I think the cycle of friends that you are the company you keep. So I make sure that even when I was doing my MBA, you don't want to finish your studies and you've got no one around you because you're that friend who was never available. Mm. So things like birthdays, big things, you make sure that you avail yourself. So to create that balance in my life, those are the major things that I make sure that I'm intentional about in terms of creating balance in my life. I have daily routines. Unfortunately, Paul, I'm not part of the 5 a.m. club.
We've spoken about that before, yeah.
I can call it the midnight club.
Yes.
I work until very late.
Yeah.
So it becomes very difficult for me to join the I've tried and I've failed. But I'm proud of the fact that I'm a night owl, yeah, and I'm productive in that night. And there are things that I'm intentional and I have a routine in that night that I'm actually up, mm-hmm, as a night owl. So those are the things that I'm intentional about.
Great examples. I love it. I sincerely hope my wife listens to this podcast somewhere, that I like that once a month fun thing. About the 5 a.m. club. Yes. I've believed in that 5 a.m. club thing for a long time in my life. And then I read something the other day where I realized maybe there was an error in my thinking. It was an article that spoke about the fact that some people are just night owls. Some people are morning people.
Thank you.
So why try and force somebody that enjoys being up until 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the evening to try and get up at 5? So I think I get it a bit better now.
Thank you. Whoever wrote that, thank you.
Yeah. So, Sia, maybe as a last question, on my previous podcasts, I've always shared a tip of the week with the listeners and the viewers. A movie, a podcast, a book, something I've read, something that has inspired me. I really love it when my guests do the tip of the week. Will you do a tip of the week for us?
Okay. So a few years ago, on my birthday, I was unlucky to have a trip to Cape Town for a business meeting. And I was lucky enough to have a group of friends that actually bought a book for me by T.D. Jakes, Pastor T.D. Jakes. And something that came out for me from that book that stood out and I still live by to this day, that was like 5 or 6 years ago. It's you feed what you want to grow and you starve what you want to die. And that is applicable to literally every aspect of your life, be it relationships, be it marriage, be it work, be it habits. You need to replace one bad habit with a good one.
Mm.
You starve the bad one by replacing it with the good habit. That is one quote that has stuck by me to this day. It's a constant reminder to myself. If I feel like I'm sleeping, I tell myself that this is one thing. If you're watching too much TV, replace it with a book.
Yeah.
Find something to starve the bad habit and feed what you want to grow.
Love it. Thank you so much, Sia. That is a wonderful tip. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you. It has been so great having you here on the couch as my guest. Thank you for joining me, Sia.
Thank you, Paul. It is such an honor to be part of this revolution. You've always had this as your big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes.
And to see it come to life and be a reality is actually such an honor to be part of it. And I'd like to wish you all the best in future.
Thank you, Sia.
Thank you.
And good luck with that journey of replacing me at FHT.
That was a joke.
I'm looking forward to that.
That was a joke.
All right. All that's left to do for this week's episode is to thank my wonderful production team for all of their hard work, amazing efforts behind the scenes. Thank you to FFG for your continuous support of this podcast. I truly believe that we are building something amazing here and that we are going to create incredible memories on this journey together. If you want to get hold of me, please send me an email to paul@iwpk.co.za. Please congratulate yourself for making the choice of having a more intentional life, of being the architect of your success and not just letting life happen to you. May the rest of your week be an amazing intentional journey, and join us again in a week's time. for the next episode of Intentionality with Paul Kim. And thank you for listening.